Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Radio.
It's great to have you here this morning. We're always glad to be able to talk to you about Jesus. I believe it. I believe every word of this Bible. I remember getting saved and thinking, well, I believe 80 or 90% of this thing. But now, after 20 years of being saved, I can tell you I believe it all. And I just want to go back to a lesson we had Sunday that Rick Crow taught. I knew it, and I understand it a little bit, as much as I think as we can on this earth. But there's a term in the Bible called foreknowledge, and there's another term called predestination. And there's places in the Bible where God said God hated. And you stop and think about that. I'll be honest, I had trouble with that over the years. I thought, how can God hate something? You know, because God is love. And, you know, you start looking and you start really giving us some thought. And the God, and it says it plain in the Bible, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It said that Jesus has been here since the foundation of the world. He's always existed and he always will exist. And then we get into the omnis, where it's omnipresent and omniscient and all these other things. So God is in all places at all time and not constrained by time. So when God says he hates somebody, he knows exactly what he's talking about because he's already at the end of time as we know it, as man knows it. Because our ticking clock ends when we quit breathing. So God has everybody else on a time frame, but God is outside of his own creation. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, what makes it so amazing about what Jesus has done, Jesus came into the world, excuse me, he gets into his own creation. Think about that. I mean, there's just been some things that have come up recently that I've thought about on this, and you know, you have an insight in the Bible, and this is why it's important to go to church. You know, sometimes we say, well, it's a boring and it's this and it, they don't do what I want, they don't sing, it kind of, you know, whatever your excuse is, that's fine. But then when you get something and it just makes you think, wow, I thought I knew that, but now that I really sit and think on it, man, it's huge and it's big and it's incredible, and it just goes on and on. There's where we're at. Now, let's think on this just a little while longer. Now, to say that you have foreknowledge of something or you're predestined for something, okay, God wanted everybody to get saved, but he knows where everybody's at in this whole situation. You see, he knows what we're doing. He knows where we're coming from. He knows the master plan. He's got it figured out. You see, he's got it figured out. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So at the end of the day, guess what we've got here? We've got an opportunity to have a relationship with someone that loves us, that created us in his own likeness and his own image, but he also knows the end of the story. You ever stop and think about that? Because honestly, you know, I mean, I think about the idea of heaven someday, but we're already there with God if we're saved. So the temptation, the aggravation, all the problems that are coming our way, all the roadblocks that Satan throws up after you get saved, then all the times when God's testing you, not testing you, but when he's trying to grow your faith and he allows obstacles to come into your way, those are all things to work out the pecking order, if you will, in heaven, because it tells us in the Bible, if we'll be faithful over a few things, God will make us ruler over many. Isn't that kind of an incredible thing? I can't be a big boss, and I can't know everything, and I can't do this, that, and whatever on this earth, but if I will be faithful over a few things, what's one of the things I could be faithful over that would get me a place in heaven? I can be faithful in learning about Jesus Christ and faithful to his house and faithful to his word, and I can continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord by reading his Bible. I don't think it can get any higher than that. Because if you stop and think here for just a little bit, there's nothing in this world man on man. There's nothing in this world that's more powerful than being able to get in touch with the creator of the universe. And guess what he did? In Matthew 6:9, Jesus himself said, let me give you a model prayer that will help aid you in developing your own prayer life. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We open that prayer up praising the Lord. We close it with thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We praise him going out. So many prayers, I believe, go with, God, give me something. God, why'd you do that to me? God, why didn't I get that? God, why can't you do this? Where's this at when I needed it? Where were you? You know, and it's like, oh, my great day. But be reassured in the idea that you're reading a Bible that has the ending already mapped out. You are reading a Bible that's talking about a risen Savior, which we will celebrate as our Easter coming up when Jesus rose from the grave. But you go back through the Old Testament, and we tried to do that in a lesson the other day, and you will see prophecy after prophecy, and the probability that one man could have fulfilled so many prophecies is so far out there. There's just nothing in this world, nothing in this world that could have prepared us for it. You see what I'm saying? There's no man that could have said, well, I'm going to come and I'm going to pretend to be the Messiah. I'm going to let him beat on me. I'm going to let him mock me. I'm going to let him make fun of me. I'm going to run for my life as a child and have mom and dad ride a donkey halfway across the country to get into Egypt to get away from, you know, Herod and the persecution. There's nobody that wanted to get into that. And it's the proof that God is real. And that's where he's tried to prove it out to us as much as he can. And you know, you say, well, if I could see somebody from the dead, well, get over there and read Luke 16:18. Well, if I could see a sign, get over there and read Luke 16. When Jesus says, you know, in this parable of hell, he says, even though somebody will go from the dead, people won't believe. And you say, well, if somebody raised from the dead, I'd believe it. That's not so, because everybody doesn't believe in Jesus. And you say, oh, everybody's, 80% of this country's Christian. That's what they identify with in their head. But if our hearts were 80% for Jesus Christ, we could change the world. We would change our society. We wouldn't be afraid to mention Jesus in school, in the workplace, and all these other places where they say, well, we need a separation of church and state. Well, we don't need to bring Jesus up here. Well, we don't want to cause dissension. Well, this might offend somebody. Listen, when you start to get offended in Jesus Christ, that means he is getting your attention. If you're never offended, your feelings are never hurt, you're never down, you're never in a situation where you reach out for Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. Why would you? If you never come to a point in your life where you need to surrender and realize that you have need of being saved from hell and from the devil and from death, you say, he'll save me from death? Absolutely, because there's a death worse than just stopping breathing. There's an eternal death separated from God in a place called hell. I do not recommend that whatsoever. So I am hoping and praying that you'll stay out of that place. Man, this morning is one of those mornings I could preach about it and talk about it all day long. But here's the thing. I hope and pray this morning that you stop and realize that the creator of the universe, who's already in heaven with those who have chosen him as their Lord and Savior, he's already there. We're just playing out the string here, and we're going to make this thing happen. That's exactly the way it goes. Have a great day. God bless.